Bibles to Chronicles, please. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Let's all stand in reverence to the Word of God. We're sitting at the table this morning with a man. His heritage was the Puritan faith. He was also an Italian, and his father is a professor in Harvard. The conversation got to Jesus, brother. It took me a little while to get him to the cross because his mind is messed up. I want to preach on confusion today.
Amen.
The old statement down in Tennessee, you're like a termite in a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Have no stability of mind, no strength in the sense of your mentality. Your mind is constantly twisting like that. You're like that young man there with his head in his hands. So I'm going to try to give you a message on how to get out of it.
Amen.
Second Chronicles 20, and I'll read one verse and try to stay to the text. And I was taught, prove the context before you go too far from it. I had a great teacher. His name was Dr. James Jones Jr. He was the pastor of my home church. He's retired now, as much as I'll let him retire. So let me read one verse. And I'll let you be seated, I'll pray. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes upon you, thee. I want to preach on what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. Lord, I didn't pick this journey up here. I let you dissolve it. I let you sow it. And you know, as we've said and meditated, and as we get in the morning hours and pray, and as we wait upon the direction of the Holy Ghost, and I pray that this people that are precious to you, these in this area, and as you have warned me and spoke to me, that I should take care of your people, that I should not abuse them and I should not take them and cause them in a matter that would grieve you. I pray, O God, that I'd be pleasing to you. And I pray that everything that would be acceptable to you today would be to your honor and your glory. Help me now to preach this message and let the burden of this truth rest in the heart of everyone that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn with me over in Luke 21. Brother Dale, did I lose my outline back there or did I hide it? There it is. Let me say this, sort of clarify y'all some. I preached and pastored for 20-something years. I built two churches by souls. I went to school educationally wise, and I graduated in college as far as when I was an analyst at a job. I was a chemist. And then one day, as I was going up the ladder of success, climbing that elevator, you know, mingling along with Alexander of Tennessee, flying all over the country playing ball from California to Cleveland, Ohio to Florida, having what he said as far as being a veteran and being a ranger in the jungles of Vietnam, saw the indecency and the depravity of humanity. I'm not trying to tantalize you with big words. What you need to do is turn that thing off before you come in here. Amen. It's Brother Black. You want me to put him on here? Put him on here. Amen. Brother Black, I'm preaching. Why don't you leave me alone?
Yeah, glory.
You hear him, buddy? It's still going on, Brother Black. I tried to be theological and have some decency about my preaching. But you had to ruin it. Hey, brother. I'm glad I left it all down. I'm trying to preach a message, brother, but I'm going to tell on you. No, I ain't telling on you. I'm pointing at Brother Tim. You just say amen right there, okay? I had him at youth conference. And he come up our man. I got him up to preach, and he wore that thing out. He wore that, really wore that cell phone out. Let her go, boy. And when he got done, I said, Sister McGill, anybody heard of Victorious Valley Girls Home?
Yes.
Sister McGill was my best friend. And I said, Sister Susan, come up there and sing a song. And I had a special song for her to sing. And I don't know how long my battery, if you got something else to do, you can be like the rest of this crew, just leave. All right, amen, brother. I said, come up here and sing. She said, I don't know the song. Now, Brother Tim just got through wearing that cell phone out, boy. We're wearing it out, you know. And Susan sat there and said, I don't know it. Well, here come one of my singers that I had there to sing. He come up there, picked the song up on his cell phone, went over on the piano and set it down in front of her and was using the cell phone to sing the song. I said, something ain't right about this. He just wore it out, and here you are using it right here in the middle of it, you know. So something ain't right about it. So I say this to you for an understanding. Don't abuse technology.
Right.
Use technology.
Amen. Amen.
Don't abuse it. Use it. I just don't want them in the pulpit. I just can't say, open your iPad now.
That's right.
Open your iPad.
Amen.
I like the old book, the blessed old book. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Named Harry Brother Hughes, you know, and they walk around and talk about the old book. I'm glad I have a black book. I don't have the book that they have as Mao Zedong and his red book. I don't have another book and then our men are talking about all their books. I got the old black book, buddy. I got the old black book. And I don't do that, sister. Let's just everybody hold the old black book up. And wait a minute.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
I'm not looking to Brother Black, are you still there?
He done. I am still here.
All right. Now, Brother Black, if it gets on over here, don't you run around your church act like something crazy. They heard you, Brother Black. They heard you laughing, brother.
Yeah,
man. We just enjoy it together. You have an old radio broadcast going. I told you about Brother Sider on that Can God, didn't I? Me and that preacher was going up the road, and he got over that Wednesday night preaching on the radio, buddy. Tabernacle got plumb out of it and run everything. I got to talk to Brother Melvin Akins for about an hour or so the other day at a camp meeting. And all he's got now is memories. You could see it slowly going away. And so, what are you saying? I'm saying this. When preaching gets on, when it gets on, I mean, you ought to study yourself full, preach yourself empty.
That's right.
Yeah. That's good.
Study yourself. I love to study the Word of God, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah. Now, I always say one thing. It don't make me to have a duty to serve the Word of God. I got a desire to study the Word of God. God put a desire in me one day, buddy. And I can't go without it, can you? I can't face a day without the Word of God. I got to have Jesus talking to me every day. Where does He talk to me? I like the old book, the blessed old book. I get along with Him. I listen to Him out of His Word. If He don't speak to you out of that Word, you ain't got it.
Yeah. That's right.
You still there, Brother Black?
I'm still here.
Okay. I can't check my percentage on the battery. This outfit's staring at me now, Brother Black. You told me when I come over there, if you all just sit there and stared at me, that wouldn't bother me. I remember you asking me that. I said, is it going to bother them if I act like a hillbilly preacher and start jumping pews? You ought to see Brother Ashford and his wife last night. You all didn't get to see it. I enjoyed every minute of it, boy. You all didn't get to see it. She was up there acting up like that. He didn't you watch him? He was going down through here like that. He was going back up and down through here just like that. And he was going back up and down there. And she was back there and couldn't sit still. She was up down that seat just like that. She was up down that seat like that. I said, my goodness gracious, man. I said, my daddy used to act like that too. Went up and down the aisle. You just used to even go back forth. But he wasn't just going back and forth like that. He was shouting, brother. He was happy about it. He was going just like this, back and forth. You didn't see it. And his, woo, woo, that's shouting.
Amen.
Yeah.
I just jump up and down in my heart.
They got bills for
that. I'm really going to get to praise. I'm headed toward praise, really I am. If I can ever get there. Brother Black, if you'd quit saying amen, I could probably get to the text. All right. Don't be laughing, this crowd here's laughing enough. What to do when you don't know what to do? Turn to Luke. I tried to get you there a while ago. Luke 21. All right, get over there. And verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. That word perplexity means when you don't know what to do.
Amen.
Your loss of mind. There's no way out. What are we going to do? All the troubles are in. The sea is a type of humanity. The waves are a type of anxiety. You ever see so much anxiety? You know, and the roar of the waves is the confusion. The roar that's going on is confusion. Rumors and thoughts and what's going to happen to us? And all the things that's going to take place. What in our country? The distress of nations taking place now. The distress of nations. And where are we? We're perplexed. We're in a place to do when we don't know what to do.
Yeah,
we don't know what to do. You don't know what you say all the time. What are we going to do? I don't know what to do.
That's right.
To preach my heart out, get out here and start to you and preach to you with all my heart and try to speak to you and try to reach your hearts and try to tell you that there's someone that can help you and change your life, and you just keep on telling that, but there is such a stress of mind and anxiety, and in a matter of this perplexed way, I don't know what to do. I won't tell you what to do when you don't know what to do. I've been waiting for the answer. I've got her, buddy.
Good, brother.
I won't tell you what to do when you don't know what to do. Let me just elaborate. You wouldn't want me to preach on how's life happening with you. Could I throw a little message in right here? Life happens. You get hold of that? You're here? Take it, just beat yourself. Life is going on. Life is happening. It's not you keep looking out and you're looking back. Look at it. It's going on right now. Tomorrow, you'll say what I'm supposed to have done today. About tomorrow, I said, yesterday. Tomorrow is the thing that you said yesterday that you're going to know. Today is the day of yesterday. What you're going to do tomorrow. Everybody, tomorrow, you ain't done. So what happens? Life goes on.
Amen.
Life starts happening. Life's a happening. Life is going on. And here you are. Just keep on. I'm going to do this yesterday. And tomorrow comes. All of a sudden, life done passed you by. Brother Dale, I hope you didn't get a hold of me. I've got son. See, I'm running red. Sorry, man. I'm sorry, doctors. I'm digressing.
No,
I am digressing. Is that not right, sir? Running red. I got another thought. That's a rabbit.
That's right.
So you come up to him, wait, I'll get the text in a minute. That's a rabbit. And you say, what's happened? You know, you say, what's happened? And you come up to the little nerd, he's got his pens in his pockets. You know, and he's got his glasses on. Would you exactly tell me what's transpiring in the world today, son? Wills. That's a nerd. You say, oh, you're racist, man. You're critical. Well, you don't have any here. You know, they accuse us people down south being the black one, you know. I don't see any of you. Or you don't see any. Don't see one or two. We got a gang up down there. And some of them are my best friends, and some of them you wouldn't take their preaching, buddy. I've got some black preachers that'll put you under the seat.
Amen.
And they preach it just exactly how that Bible tells it, buddy.
Amen.
That Bible don't have any racism in it, buddy. Okay, that's for you young kids to get an understanding all this other stuff that they're trying to propagate in our country to get us to fight one another, bringing up issues like that, is to get you to fight and each other in America, and they sit back in life and watch you kill each other.
That's right.
Right.
That's right, exactly right.
And our young people need to know some things, but they're going to suppress that. You just don't want to listen to that loud mocking. That, you know what they called Paul, don't they? Called him a babbler.
Right.
Who called him a babbler? Those philosophers did.
Uh-huh.
What will this babbler have to say? So when you come up to a black man, you say, hey man, what the hell, man?
What's happening, boy? They tell you, what's going on? What's happening, man? What's happening, yo? How you doing, bro? How you doing, yo? How you doing, bro? I don't know, man. How you doing, you know?
Then here comes the Mexican. He just got been hired by the old border. He just... And he'd find a Mexican down there, and he's working on everything, and you'll wonder about all that. And he'd come up to him and he'd say, ¿Qué pasa, señor? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa, señor? Hey, Dada?
Oh, Billy Mitchell, old revivalist down there, he's dead now. He'd come out there, he'd come down there, and all the preachers be sitting on the front seat, just shouting and going on while he's preaching. And he'll sit there and he'll say, ain't that right? And he'll say, he'll be preaching to me. He'll say something real strong. You say something doctrinal, and we got young people now that don't know the Bible.
That's right.
Don't know the Bible. The greatest companion in your life is that Bible. Amen.
That's right.
Right.
So, that was a little message inside a message. And I pray I don't do many more of them because we'll be here all evening. Perplexity. Paul talks about it. He said, I was perplexed, but not in despair.
That's right.
He said, I'm perplexed. Paul said that. To have no way out, to be lost mentality, to stand in doubt. I don't know what to do. But he wasn't total despair. He wasn't utterly lost. He wasn't totally in a state of depression, down to despairing. What is everybody taking their dope for? They don't want to face reality. That's what a drunk used to do. He just didn't have that much effect. This drug is affects you more physically than an alcohol does. That's why we got such a time trying to get to these kids. But I believe God can overcome the dope head, don't you? I believe they can reach the druggie. I believe that he can reach down into the depths and the darkness and the depravity and the loneliness of a druggie, a dope head, any kind of place of abuse in your family, in your home, a mama, a daddy, or a child, any way of that, he can save them, amen. God can save them.
Amen.
And does he what? Makes a new creation out of them. He makes a new person out of them. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to get away from the Bible. You hear me? You need to sit back. I can't remember her, and I'm getting Dale's down real good. Give me yours.
Amy.
All she does sit there and cry. I'm getting tired of your tears. I'm going to just sit there and cry, but rubbing his back. Quit acting like you love him. My goodness. And you didn't love him when he was lost. God gave you that love for him. God put that love for you. God's got that love. Your natural love has been shot. How do you destroy your natural love? By your sin.
That's it.
Well, you know, if we can teach them and tell them a little bit, we can be able to psychologically sit down and put them before a psychiatrist. And he'll be able to convince them and show them exactly what's taking place in their mind. And they'll be able to speak themselves out of it. And pretty soon they'll be able to...
God.
The doctor, psychiatry didn't come into effect until about 60s, right after the war. That's when they become doctors of psychiatry. Right after the war, they were hired up for it and all that stuff. But all of a sudden, they became a profession. You know, they got an office. You go see the psychiatrist. You know what my mom and daddy call them? Quacks.
That's right.
I ain't going to enter that quack. No? Well, Mama, you're really crazy the way you are. I mean, my goodness, Mama. All you do is shout and holler, praise God. You know, put the picture. You don't want to preach on barefoot babies and biscuits, do you?
Preach. That's my famous message. All of it's going to be my famous message. It's going to be my message. I think. You done, which one of you boys come up to me and said, I got you, I got the barefooted, I got the babies and the biscuits. I got the babies and the, which one did you get?
Tell me after church. You got all three of them? Aren't they confused, brother?
The simplicity of you sitting there of a common temptation. It's common.
Right.
It's common. It ain't hard. You just got to see what your flesh is. Well, see, these men take that out and start turning that where it is that you want to do these things, and it's just a part of you, and you just fulfill your destiny as, what's her name, Obama's wife, Michelle. She wrote a book on becoming. You're just becoming whatever you are destined to be. Ha! You ought to read the book on the psychology of gullibility. It's a book, I promise you. Now you better not get around Brother Hardy. He's not very educated. You know, I really love you, but I love you too. Because you know why it is? I love you. It's just a simple dick of bed. It's just a simple thing. I tell my children, which are doctors and dentists and surgeons and school teachers, my children, my grandkids, and all of them, you know. And I said, just what part of that don't you understand?
The real simple.
And what is that you say? No! And they look at me and they say, what part of that don't you understand? You get that? No! Exactly what part don't you understand? You keep on, you'll find out what part you don't understand. It ain't hard. Just simple. Sit up! What are they going to do?
You have to get a hold of them trying to make them sit up.
You got tired finally preaching. He was singing in the car the other day. We were coming home. He was singing at that grandson. I think that's in your family somewhere.
Here you are. Here you are.
That's right.
Well, you're right. Well, how can I get out of it?
Right.
What do I do when I don't know what to do?
No. Jehoshaphat looked up and he said, our eyes are on you, Lord. What shall we do when we don't know what to do?
Verse. I better get back over there. Verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Well, what are you going to have to do when you don't know what to do? Stand still, amen, and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is the Lord's, my friend. The battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. The battle is the Lord. What are you going to do? Stand still and see.
What's that mean? Stand still. That don't mean to quit doing what? That don't mean that you don't get out of the stand. That don't mean that you're not going to take a place and take your stand. That's not what he means. It means that you just stand in your place and just be still and know he's God. Amen. Just know that I am God. Brother, when it gets like that, and I'm telling you, I'm glad of this meeting with you for one reason. I've been fighting this thing now. You know my fight down there and all that stuff for so long. I've been fighting that bunch, you know. Oh, amen. But I got
to appoint with some of them stinking doctors, brother. All our problem was jealousy. All they wanted was one preacher to come over there. All they could do is preach me, you preach me stuff. I don't like that garbage anything. I said here today, if you want to go to the place and that preacher calls you there to go, then he calls you there to preach, amen. To come and preach the word of God and come and preach to his people. And if you come with favoritism on you and you come with God giving you the place, you'll get this kind of reception. And I want to be careful with your young people because they ran up to me and they talked to me and all of them, brother, I want to be real careful with them. I'm not going to tell them anything that will ruin their lives. I'm not going to tell them anything that will make you go down the wrong way. And I'm not going to agree with you when you've got something in your life.
I'm going to be your friend. I don't care if you can't work on cars.
This poor little old rat run across the road there last night.
I stomped on my brakes and I hit it. It didn't work. I went over that.
Where's that brother at?
And that brother came up there and I said, would you help me bury his rat?
And you know what he did?
He stepped on it.
He stepped on it. I guess that's the way you bury a rat. I don't know. What But don't you realize the battle is the Lord's? The battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. You're his instrument. You're his soldier. But the battle is the Lord's. You know, he ain't ever lost one. He ain't never lost a battle. You said, we're losing right now. You just don't know his tactics.
They're getting us right now. Oh, they just think they are.
The more they try to kill me, the more they sick of me toward heaven.
Well, my son, well, don't say I'm going to kill you, but don't threaten me with heaven. That's what they said tomorrow. Don't threaten me with heaven. I'm going to kill you.
My problem is this,
is that when someone comes at me that way, and I'm out on the streets witnessing, you talk about going to prisons and things like that.
And they come up to, I don't do it in the prison. There's some way God just keeps you in that prison. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? I was in the prison meeting one time. I went on this walk. A walk is where they got their jail cells, and you go down that walk, and they're all in there. And I stood out on that walk. And I said, man. You said, what'd you say? I knew the devil's a hell. Yes, and I was going down through there and I would look at him. And he said, usually witness everybody. I just look him over. You know, and I'm not a racist. Well, really, I am. I'm a Gentile.
Amen.
I'm a Gentile, right?
Right.
You know what Shem was, don't you? He was a Jew. Shem was a Jew.
Right.
I'm a Gentile.
Right.
The blacks are Hamites.
Right.
I'm Jew.
Don't they talk about the Jews being racist?
We're Jews. They said they're racist, aren't they? You know, racism, but Jews, racism on that?
Yeah.
Well, my goodness, won't everybody get mad over that? I'm just being logical. I mean, you know.
Well,
that's confusion.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
That's confusion.
Right.
You don't know who to believe in. You don't know who's got right. You don't know who's telling you right. You see this side, you hear this way, you hear that way, you hear this interpretation of the scripture, you hear this man said this way, this man said this way. That Bible has got only one interpretation. Not many, not many. Many interpretations will bring denominations. That's what brings denominations. By men having different interpretations. It's got only, I don't, you told me out. That Bible has got
you get that? M.R. Dehan.
Amen.
That brings a smile on me because you like that father, don't you?
Yes.
He taught me out of his book. I'm not against good books, you understand? But a bunch of these books are wicked.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I've done two more rabbits. You still there, brother?
I am.
I guarantee you one thing now, big boy. You better not be live streaming, sitting back with a cup of coffee, a cigarette in your hand, and a pair of shorts on. I'm fixing to kill my appointment with him, people. You better quit maybe you can talk to him. Don't let me get hurt now, Brother Black. Don't let me say too much that I can't come over there, all right? The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Then next, not only the battle is the Lord, stand still, see salvation. Next, you must believe in the Lord. Verse 20. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall ye be prosperous. What you need to do where that prophets is put preacher. There's no more prophets. I'm a preacher.
Right.
I'm not a prophet. I'm a preacher. How can they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
And I ain't going to debate with that bunch. They don't want me there. I'm going to declare it. You hear me, Biden and Buttigieg and all that other bunch? Sodomy is sin. I'm not debating about it. That Bible says it's sin. And I will declare this Bible by the Second Amendment, right? I'm privileged to preach that book. And where are you going to do it at? Okay, fellas. Right here in the pulpit. Right here in the pulpit. You can't touch it. If you do, you're not going to have to come over my body. Amen. Because I have the Second Amendment, the separation of church and state, and I'm not here to debate with you and all you other fellas and all you lawyers and all you other buds. I'm here to declare unto you, thus saith the Lord, thus saith God, it's sin, it's sin. You can be a transgender, whatever you want to be. That Bible says it's sin, and the judgment of sin is hell, and hell is where you'll burn for your sin.
I got that old boy to that point today, but not in this manner, you know what I mean?
Why, you saw I was talking to him. Eased him up to it, because he brought him up to it. I brought him up to Calvary. Brought him up to what really took care of his sin. And you had to get him to understand it's sin first.
That's right.
Because their mentality now is not sin.
Right.
Come on, see.
You're going to have to believe. If you're going to prosper in the work of God, you're going to have to believe God.
Right.
You're going to have faith.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Right. And he walked with God and was not. For he had this title. He was doctor. He had this testimony. I'd rather have a testimony than a title.
Amen.
I'd rather be that these young people would talk down the road. Did you hear old Brother Harvey? He'd have to have you walk with God. And they call me Brother Harvey.
Right.
You know? Did you hear Dr. So-and-so?
Oh, God.
You hear Dr. So-and-so? Are you against the degrees or being a doctorate in some good college, some good seminary that's got to the preacher's teaching preacher? No. This young preacher that I preached for down in Lower Alabama came out of Norris's after under Barber. He came over there and I preached in the National Fellowship from up north. After I got done preaching, here come one of the big doctors over.
Brother Harvey, I enjoyed your hollering.
I said, what's the bother you?
I didn't say nothing. I just took it.
That's right. That's
I just took it.
Just keep hollering.
I just kept taking it.
Amen.
But long ago, brother, here not long ago, when I couldn't ordain that man and that bunch of junk come up to me,
I said, I'm sick of you stinking doctors. Now I meant it. My daughter came up to me and she said, Dad, you're mad. I said, you got that right. And I think I was studying on anger all this time, and I said, is that for them or me? And I've got to be controlling in my anger. I was talking about where that someone would, I get in a place of witness to the people. I witness to everyone, the drunk, the mighty, the strong, the weak, the wise, and the unwise, the illiterate, the great one, because that witness of that word of God, it will take care of the median, the little one, the bad one, the smart one, the dumb one, everything. That Bible will take care of everything. You don't try to get along in the area of their intellect. You bring them the word of God, and you tell them that if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have faith in what He did for you at Calvary, He'll save you, amen. He'll save you. You don't need to tell them no more. I'm not here to debate with you.
You don't say it in this spirit. I'm preaching right now. I'm preaching. I'm a preacher right now. I'm not debating. I'm a preacher, amen. I'm a preacher.
The battle is the Lord. Believe in God. Believe. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. I call this one girl down in Lower Alabama. I call her was not.
Well, she called Tom saying, we was something, we was, what we was.
I said, that's old was there. He was not, for God took him. That's the rapture. You believe that? I believe in the rapture. You believe in the rapture. You kids don't. You better believe in the rapture. It's stuff nowadays, buddy. If you don't have the rapture understanding, theology, if you don't understand the rapture, you're going to get messed up on a lot of other stuff, buddy. The battle's the Lord. I when I can get to this last point, maybe we'll do a little rapture practice.
Come on.
Do a little rapture practice. Just a little rapture practice. A little rapture practice.
I'm glad it ain't going to keep me to pull me up. It's going to be the Holy Ghost that takes me out. Amen.
Believe. Faith. You have to have some faith. Battle is the Lord. Believe in the Lord. And then the blessings of the Lord. And I'm there. So what happened? He told him in verse 21. He said, he appointed unto them singers unto the Lord. This is it. Now I'm not going to be this long if I don't run 15 rabbits. It's hard to stay awake at 1:30, ain't it? Yeah. I've been in a lot of it.
Yeah.
Especially in a building that ain't got no air. This is the last one. The battle's the Lord's. You got that? Believe in the Lord and you will prosper. Faith will increase your life. He'll prosper by faith. By faith. He pleased God by faith. And then the blessing of the Lord. And what happened? He went over there and he appointed the army to go out and whip them. He went over and got all the singers. He went over and got Asa and all the singers. And they went out in front of the army. They went out in front of the army. And what were they doing? Praising God. Brother Harvey's all the time talking about praising. Get those hands up, Brother Sammy. He said, get those hands up now. It's time to praise the Lord. You're going to praise the Lord now. Get those hands up. The singers went out before the army.
And as they went out before the army, they were praising the Lord. Caused the enemy to get discomfited, or discomfited, however you might say it. Got confused and killed themselves. What does happen nowadays? They must come in here and see you praising God, honoring God, and shouting God. They get so confused, they go out and another kill themselves. They say, what in the world you got around there? What in the world? And go ahead, they'll look at you and they'll think you're so strange, and they'll want to have what some of them might want to have, what you got, and they, hey, you ever get the praise of God flowing in your life, buddy, you won't want nobody to take it away from you. Look, there's a place with God in praise that only the glory of God will show up. Praise Him will show up of the glory of God. If you want to see what to do when you don't know what to do, just praise Him. I praise Him. I praise Him. If you want to get out of your anxieties and get out of your hands in your head, and just get up one time and raise those hands up and start praising God and start honoring God and get up and act crazily foolish. I don't care how many anxieties. I don't care how many troubles. I don't care what you got. You just start praying the Lord. It'll all go away.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
At home, my home church, the youth choir was big. And they'd sing the songs that Brother Tim and I love so much, the good songs that you make them sing. That's what we sing in our church. And they'd get to singing that song, or saying it, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Good old preacher named Ben Cooley. Ben Cooley would get up there. He'd open a psalm, start talking about the benefits of God. Start reading that psalm, tears would start rolling down his eyes. And the more he read up scriptures, the more he cried. The more he read the scriptures, the more that choir of people started holding that hand up. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Now, these kids never been out in sin now. Most of them, our kids were raised up there. Our church was raised up with families. My dad just started. That's why the Herman Baptist Tabernacle is what it is. That's why Brother Jones is the man he was. My daddy and my mama, and I'm not trying to hurt you all. Brother, listen to me. Dale, you all got a new life now. You got a new start. You got two children. Now raise them up to love God. Raise them up to love God. And don't put your life in order to get them not to do something. Don't say, I did this and call me heaven. Don't do that. Why do you tell them how to live? That Bible tells you, young lady, that Bible tells you, young man, how to live. And you're going to live according to the Word of God. Because me and mama, daddy will fail you. If you don't take your problem and worry about it. Don't glamorize your sin. Don't throw it up there. Tell them that Bible is what they got to live for. It'll be their choice down through life. It'll be your choice whether or not you want to live for God. And you take that Bible and make your life out of what it ought to be. Don't try to compare what others do. Amen.
Right.
And don't throw your sin up. What do you do? Now here's what he says for you to do. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents. It's very simple. Very simple. So I throw barefooted babies and biscuits in right here. Marry, bear children, and guide the house. Mary is barefoot. Barefoot is married. Bear children is babies. Oh, y'all not having any children now. God said children are fruit of His heritage.
That's right.
Children is God's heritage, not yours.
Right, amen.
If you got a child, God gave it to you.
That's right. Hey, man.
You know what got that man the most when I was sitting over there talking to him? Him and his wife couldn't have children. It broke their heart because they couldn't, so they adopted two. I started talking to him, he just started crying. Said, we got to adopt them, but we got them now, amen. And they're just crying, you know, they're crying about it, you know. And I said, many, I know too many preachers now that cannot have children. And they want them with all their heart. They want children, they can't have it. And down the road, or some of them have about 15 or 20, got them all down the road and you can't figure it out. Think, Lord, God, why do you let that bunch have children? They're wicked and they got all the children. They make a little more money. They're praying, you know. And then, you know, why do they let them have them? And you won't let me have children. I want them with all my heart. And then they finally get to the point that when they get that child, if they do, however they get, they know it's precious. And God makes it precious in them. Bear children. My daughter Buffy had six of them. That stinking son-in-law, he cut her off. He quit. He was just, Dad, he don't want no more. I said, I need to talk to him. And then, guide the house, not McDonald's. I hit hard there, didn't I? I hit real hard right there, boy. Yeah. We can't make it without he going to work. You know, or why don't you be content without what that preacher preached there last night with such things as you have?
Come on.
But you've got to have everything else. If you've got a husband that loves you, if you've got a home with a bunch of babies in there, and that baby will make a woman out of you, buddy. I'm telling you, I watch you with them babies. That baby will make a woman out of you, bud. You might as well mark her down, you know, to make a woman out of you. I don't know what we got to do, man, about this biscuit stuff. I'm through right now. I went over there, my granddaughter that plays the piano for the church. She went to YouTube, he finished the old chords and music. Yeah, I mean, I understand. She did survive. Yes. Never made less than a 4 point. Never tasted a sin or anything. God saved us a little. I'm going to throw something else in here, I'm sorry. We've had a tent meeting. Brother Sammy Allen's there with something. What about that? Brother Sammy is preaching for me that night. He just had eight saved, you know. Not many, just eight I'm saved. And Brother Buffy, Keith, Buffy, Buffy, Jessica was just a little bitty girl. And she come over to Buffy and wanted to be saved. Mama wanted to be saved. And she said, I prayed with him, prayed with him, prayed with him, you know. And she said, well, the Lord can make. She said, no. That's good, everybody. No. Well, because you don't tell them you're saved.
Right.
You don't tell them you're
saved. That's right.
Tell them no.
Hey.
When your time, when it comes time,
wait.
Tell them no. So, we went on with the meeting, went on about, went on, and so it was 2 or 3 weeks later, and I called Buffy, and Buffy said, Dad, Jessica, don't ever mention about the Lord no more. Did we do wrong and not tell her? I said, no, that's all right.
I'm going to get you real big right now. In family devotion, I said, family devotion. I say, family devotion. You ain't got nothing to repent about. There's your one. So they're sitting there, family devotion. Keith's reading the scriptures. And it comes time for Jessica to read her scriptures. There's Jessica over there now, just a little thing. She's time to her read. What you do is let the child, each one of the kids will read a scripture. Each one of them read a scripture, and then you pray together as a family. And they go to bed.
When do you do that? Every day.
Yeah.
Jessica's sitting over there crying.
She's just sitting there crying.
And they look over and they say, Jessica, what's wrong? I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Guess who the lead got to lead their own child to the Lord? Mom and Daddy. Mom and Daddy got to lead their own child to the Lord. Amen. Just because they were walking in the way of God, and because they were having family devotion, and because they were taking that word of God and making their life out of it. Five-footed babies and biscuits, amen. I get home and learn how to cook, young lady, and make a home there, and try to make a biscuit for that man. And you get out of that bed, you stinking dog, and go to work, amen. And go to work. You do the job. We don't need women on the workforce. We need some women in the house. Amen. We need them in the house.
That's right, preacher. Good. Thank you.
We can't make it. Try God out and just be content with what you got to see.
Amen. Amen.
What you want to do now, young people? The battle's the Lord. Believe God, you'll be prosperous. And then praise Him. Amen. Praise Him. Praise Him. And while they did, the enemy got discomfited. That bunch was to go by here and see you bunch of young people in here praising the Lord. They'll say, what's going on in there? And they might just come in and say, some will ridicule you. But some say, I wished I had that. You know what they call that valley where they were at praising the Lord? They call it the Valley of Blessing. The Valley of Blessing. Can the valley of your anxieties, can the valley of all your anxiousness, can the valley of all this that's going on you, can the valley of your perplexity, can the valley when you don't know what to do, when you ought to do, when you don't know what to do, when you can't go about it, I don't know what to do, Brother Harvey. I don't know where I'm at. I'm such anxiety. I got my head in my hands. I got my head in my hands. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. And you'll get a blessing from God. The blessings of God will fall on your soul if you just praise Him. He commands it. He's not asking you where you want to or not. That Bible says, praise the Lord.
That's right.
You want me to check Brother Black out? Brother Black?
Yes, sir.
Okay, man. I'm giving an invitation now. Wherever you're going to fall down and pray about this, I knew you were the one supposed to hear it. No. Okay, people, kids. Are you not in anxiety? Give me a break. Let me look at you just 5 seconds. Will you put your head in your hands? You sit with that kind of weight weighing you? You're doing right, you want to do right, and that most of you, I love talking to you boys, you got, I wish I could take you down there as much a sissy as I got. You're much of a man, I like it. You talk like a man, you don't squeak like a man, you don't walk like a man. I mean,
that's right.
You do like a man. And you women act like women. You're never going to please that flesh. Crucify it. Die to it. But if you want to get out of your anxieties and you want to get out of this thing of you just can't figure out how to get out of it, and I don't know what to do and I don't know what to do, you come in here tonight. When time starts singing, you get up here in that choir and you get to worshiping God and don't pay no attention to all these preachers getting up and preaching and jumping everywhere. You're the ones causing it. You see the goal and you see you glorifying God and seeing you praising God. That'll make a preacher preach everywhere. He can't stand it. He see you up there worshiping God like that. If you've got any preaching, you want to preach when they're acting like that.
Amen.
I got this thing trapped. I got this thing prayed up specially for you. It won't be, I don't reckon, I don't think I use it. It's for you. Anxiety? Got your head in your hands? Why don't you just start praising the Lord? I'm sorry, they might call you a cult man. Charismatic. So does me. You didn't get my shout.
Woo!
You said, are you causing him, coaching him to do it? You got that right. So quit.
Brother Black, I promise I won't preach that long when I come over here. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I can say something. A man that all folks knew very well, his name was Spencer Williamson of what he called Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Everybody called him Spink Williamson. And he got to Fort Lauderdale back in the 1940s when it was a town of 40,000 people. And he started a church there, and the town grew up around it.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, he had millions of dollars worth of property. The I forget what they called it, but he had a Christian school and all these things. It was just huge. And they needed more parking. And Spink Williamson used to say, you don't have a problem, you can't praise your way out. Because you've never had one, you can't praise your way out. So they brought in a contract, they brought in three contractors to get bids. That's the 1970s, and the lowest bid was $20,000. That'd be worth maybe $50,000-$60,000 today. And he told the secretary, that's the one we'll go with. She misunderstood. She called the contractor. They weren't ready to do it. On Friday night, his board of deacons gave him a call, furious. Just beyond fury. That parking lot's done, and there's a bill on the desk for $20,000 they had to pay it on Monday. He came in there, and he told them all about the early 1940s needing a nickel one time. He was too ashamed to ask his deacons back in the early 1940s, so he just praised God for hours, and his little boy found a nickel in the yard. He asked his board of deacons, what's harder for God, $20,000 or a nickel? Well, what are you supposed to say? What's the Sunday school answer? Well, she said, don't bother me. He went and got a motel room. And all night, now listen, I slept three nights of my life in a room next to him. You better get earplugs.
Amen.
Yeah, praise God all through the night. Praise God all through the night. And he just praised God all through that night.
Yes, sir.
Saturday morning came, he was still like praising God. Just all the things he could think of, all the answers God ever gave to him in prayer.
Yeah.
Praising God for him. Somewhere about 8 o'clock at night, his wife's at the door. What do you want? You got a phone call you need to take. Woman, I told you, don't bother me. No, you need to take this one. It was a TWA pilot. That's Trans World Airlines. They're out of business for years. By the name of Tom Young. He had the London to Miami flight. That was his. He's coming back from London. And the Lord's showing him and saying, remember when you were lost? Remember when that preacher won you to Jesus Christ? He's remembering that. And the Lord's telling him that $20,000 you got in the bank, it ain't for you. It ain't for you. And he said, I couldn't wait to land that airplane. I couldn't wait. Just get it down on that runway and ran to a bow. Get a hold of Spink Williamson. That Saturday night, Spink Williamson walks in, gets his board of deacons there. asks them again, what's harder, a nickel or $20,000? Slaps that $20,000 in them, quit bothering me.
Went home.
Some of you know Brother Lou DeFilippo Antonio. A few years ago, Brother Lou was getting ready to get evicted out of his house by his own pastor, if you know. He cried to every man of God he knew. He had cried to his children. He was given until the end of December 31st, at the end of the year. Called in December 30th. Crying again. And I said, Brother Lou, I said, let me tell you something. He said, number one, I remember one time looking around and realizing my children pitied me. You don't ever want to be in a condition where your children pity you. And I realized, straighten up, just put your life back together. You're at a point your children pity you, there's something wrong. And I said, Brother Lou, right now, your children pity you, your friends pity you, and they're sick of your phone calls. They're sick of them. They're sick of them. I told them about Brother Spink Williamson, and I just said, the only way you're getting out of this one is to praise your way out of it. Praise your way out of it. He told me this. He called me the first. This is December 30th, he called me the first. He had to take a car from Columbus, Ohio to New Jersey. His wife and daughter had to follow him. And he said, for the first few hundred miles, he's praising God, but it's all phony. He's just saying anything he can. He said, all of a sudden, God kind of got in the car, and I was really praising God. He said, after a while, his wife and daughter, what's going on in that car up there? He said, then God broke it. Showed him what a wicked evangelist he'd been. A man just go into churches, get the money and leave. Just 20 messages, don't think about them. And God just broke him over it. Broke him. In the midst of praising God. Broke him over it. He said when he was fully broken, he praised God more than he'd ever praised him. He didn't care if he lost that house. He didn't care if he got evicted. Him and God were clean and they were right. Got that car delivered. He's on his way back. And a man called him from Columbus, Ohio. He said, we don't normally do this. With all that paperwork that we could never get straight, it's all landed on my desk. You come in somewhere about 9, 10 o'clock that night. The man said, just a secular man, we don't ever do this. I'm not sure why we're doing it. And they sat there and signed it all with about 2 hours left. Signed it all. What happened? He praised his way out of a problem that no one else could help him with. Okay? Now listen. We'll do a little A.W. Tozer here. I don't care. You want to praise God right now? Go ahead and praise God. All right? But here's what I'd rather have. If you're going to praise God tonight, I want you to praise God because you praised him all afternoon.
That's right.
That's you.
All right?
That's right. Hey.
You go home. That bill you can't pay? That problem you got that's too great?
This is
that thing that's breaking your heart. You go home. You got to write it on paper. And praise God for putting that problem in your life. Praise God for putting it there. Is he broken your health? Praise God for breaking your health.
Okay?
You can't find God in all your sorry ways? Praise God. Praise God for it. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Lord Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Then come back tonight.
Amen.
Shake that man's hand. don't listen to him. Some backslid type of
thing. That's it, brother.
Come back tonight, shake his hand.
Yeah, so stay away from that man. He's crazy.
He already told us he loves dollar bills. I got in trouble one time at a church.
That's all we know.
I got in trouble at church.